Jayadadamadava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihariyam. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astotar Shata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Foundacharya's Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Sri Gangamai Ki Jai, Sri Jamunamai Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Lachmina Shinga Dev Ki Jai, ISKCON Nuvaramanrati Dham Ki Jai, Dai Gaur Premanande, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, text number 1 and 2. So text number 1 has no purport, and we'll recite that simultaneously, and text number 2 we'll do responsively. Number 1, together. Shri Sukha Vacha Nisamya Kaushara Vinopavarnitam Hare Katam Karana Sukaratmanaha Punasapartracha Tam Udata Jalitir Natchatitro Vidudrita Vrata. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, after hearing from the great sage Maitreya about the Lord's incarnation as Varaha, Vidura, who had taken a vow, begged him with folded hands to please narrate further transcendental activities of the Lord, since he, Vidura, did not yet feel satisfied. And text 2 we'll do responsively. Vidura vacha. Tenaiva tu muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hataityanu susruma Tenaiva tu muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hata ityanu shushruma Tenaivato muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hata ityanu shushruma. Please chant. Tenaivato muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hata ityanu shushruma Tenaivatu muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hata ityanu shushruma Tenaivatu muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hata ityanu shushruma Tenaivatu muni shreshta Harina yagya murtina Adidaicho hiranyaksho Hata ityanu shushuma. Vidura uvacha. Sri Vidura said, Tena, by him. Eva, certainly. Tu, but. Munishreshta, O chief among the sages. Harina, by the personality of Godhead. Yagyamurtina, the form of sacrifices. Adi, original. Daichaha, demon. Hiranyakshaha, by the name Hiranyaksha. Hataha, slain. Iti, thus. Anushushruma, heard in succession. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Vidura said, O chief amongst the great sages, I have heard by disciplic succession that Hiranyaksha, the original demon, was slain by the same form of sacrifices, the personality of Godhead, Lord Bor. Purport. As referred to previously, the Bor incarnation was manifested in two millenniums, namely Swayambhuva and Chakshusha. In both millenniums, there was a Bor incarnation of the Lord. But in the Swayambhuva millennium, he lifted the earth from within the water of the universe, whereas in the Chakshusha millennium, he killed the first demon, Hiranyaksha. In the Swayambhuva millennium, he assumed the color white, and in the Chakshusha millennium, he assumed the color red. Vidura had already heard about one of them, and he proposed to hear about the other. The two different Bor incarnations described are the one supreme personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timrindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakantamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopikampa Gopisha Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Dapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanustate Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shamati Shila Virbhava Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvara Nama Shri Virbhavave Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatane Hare Krishna. So today we are discussing a little bit on the appearance of Lord Varaha. So better? Okay, I can hear the difference now. Yeah. So here Vidura is inquiring. He wants to hear more about the past sins of the Lord. So it's natural that a devotee wants to hear more and more about the past sins of the Lord. As one develops in their Krishna consciousness, we naturally want to be more and more engaged in this field. It's a very progressive and very natural tendency of a devotee. So here Vidura is setting this example of how one should act, how one should incline himself in spiritual life. So he's setting this pace so that we, the followers of the Bhagavatam, we can learn that and we can adopt the same principle. So every verse, every word in the Bhagavatam is very instructive, and it has a purpose for us to understand. So once a devotee was questioned in England that, what do you do after the morning program? So he said, I read Srimad Bhagavatam. Then they asked, so what do you do after that? He said, I read Srimad Bhagavatam. Then they asked again, so what do you do after that? He said, I read Srimad Bhagavatam. So at that point, the interviewer didn't get it, so the devotee explained. He said, I read Srimad Bhagavatam 12 hours per day. Of course, we can't imitate that, or we may not have the facilities to do that, but it's an example that we can keep in mind, that where we want to head, in what directions we want to head in. So in this pastime here, Srila Prabhupada is describing that there are two incarnations of Lord Bor. So first of all, when we get to this point of discussing the manifestation of the Lord, and we discuss, well, the Lord came as a pig, as a hog, as a boar, a filthy animal. How do we relate with that in Krishna consciousness? Are we saying that the Lord is a pig or a hog? Or are we saying that he manifested himself in that way? What we are saying is that he manifested himself in that form. But he's actually not a pig or a boar. That's like, for example, a father might be a multimillionaire or having such a big position. But when he comes home, he goes on his knees and his little son rides on his back. That does not mean that the father has become a donkey or a horse. No, but the father is taking that position in reciprocation with the love for his devotee, for his child. So it's not that the father has become a donkey, but he acts in such a way for the pleasure of his son. Similarly, the Lord acts in different ways for the pleasure of his devotees. And he may take different form at will, but he is not subjected to those forms. Like in Jayadev Goswami's Dasha Avatar Stotra, in the third verse, he describes Lord Varaha. Let me read that. Vasati dasana sikare darani tavalagna shashini kalanka kalevarni magna keshavadrita sukararupa jay jagadisha hare. So, yeah, the Lord is described here as sukararupa. And here is the translation for that. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glories to you. The earth, which had become immersed in the Garbhodaka ocean, at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk, like a spot upon the moon. So here in essence of this pastime is Lord Bor, Lord Varaha, is lifting Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, out from the Garbhodaka ocean. And it's described that she appears to be a spot on it, on his tusk, just like there is a spot on the moon. If you see a spot on the moon, then the moon looks very beautiful. And similarly, the spot looks beautiful. So it both ways. The spot beautifies the moon, and the moon beautifies the spot. But if you have a spot on your dhoti, then no, that's not beautiful. You need to take it to the wash. So with the Lord, it's different. It's transcendental. So like that, the tusk and Lord Bor beautifies the earth, and the earth beautifies Lord Bor, like that. So in spiritual life, there is this transcendental reciprocation that's always there. So now to understand how Lord Varaha appeared in both millenniums, we can backtrack a little bit with highlights only, because details would take a very long time. So we all know of the four Kumaras, the four little babies, four little 4-year-old boys, that they were traveling and they went to Vaikuntha. So they were instructed by their father, Lord Brahma, to procreate, to increase the population. But they decided that they don't want to get entangled in family matters. So Lord Brahma said, well, you don't have to do that right now, but when you grow up, then you can engage. So they thought, well, we don't want to grow up. So therefore, in short, they cursed themselves that they would never grow more than 5 years old. Their bodies would always appear to be like 4 years old. But spiritually, they are matured. They are very advanced and very matured in consciousness. So like that, because if you're a little child, you have no lust in your heart. When your body develops, that's when lust develops. So they decide to remain as little children, so that way lust would not develop for them to get entangled in this world. So like that, they were little boys, they had their Brahmin threads. So they went to Vaikuntha, and we all know the story of Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. They stopped them from entering, and they, after a long discussion, back and forth argument, the four Kumaras cursed them that they would become demons. So the question is, how can such qualified persons, such qualified Brahmins, the four Kumaras, subject themselves to anger to curse the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, such great devotees of the Lord, that they are cursing? Because in Vaikuntha, there is no problems, there is no anxiety. You know, Vaikuntha means freedom from anxiety. So how come all of that happened? What causes them? So at that point, whilst all this was going on, Lord Vishnu appears, and he was apologizing for the behavior of his two servants, Jai and Vijay. And he told the four Kumaras that, don't worry, all of this are actually my plan. It's my plan that I engage with my two servants, Jai and Vijay, that we want to have pastimes. So like that, these two demons, these two devotees, Jai and Vijay, they were cursed to become demons. So the first set of demons they became were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So anyway, to fast forward, Lord Vishnu incarnates himself, and we just talked about the 10 main incarnations, the Das Avatar, their 10 main incarnations. Of course, they're unlimited, but he decided to manifest in the form of a boar. So in this pastime, for us to understand, we have to discuss Lord Brahma a little bit. So in the creation, we have Garbhodakshayi Vishnu.
Yeah.
Garbha means the navel. Adaka means water. And Shai means sleeping. So Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is one who is sleeping in the causal ocean, and from his navel sprouts a lotus whereby Lord Brahma took birth. So that's how Lord Brahma appeared. So to understand this whole principle of this creation of Lord Brahma, which is called the Brahmanda, anda means egg. So the Brahmanda, the creation of this one planetary system, this one set of planetary systems, is called the Brahmanda. And it has the form of an egg. It shapes like an egg. So if you imagine an egg standing on one of its tips, and then there are 14 lines around that egg, which represents the 14 planetary systems. That's the form, that's a shape that Lord Brahma creates the universes. And so this is only one Brahmanda. And in this Brahmanda, there are these 14 planetary systems, which is like each line, if you cut it off, is like a plane. So there are like 14 planes. And each plane has innumerable planetary systems. This planetary system of 9 planets, what we know of, is only one of them. So Srila Prabhupada said maybe in the future the scientists would discover more planetary systems. Right now they only know of 9. So anyway, so these 14 planetary systems, they're from the middle going up, the higher planetary systems or the upper planetary systems is there, and it's described in the Gayatri Mantra that the second initiated devotees chant every day. So from Bhu, which we know as Bhumandala, which is this, the planetary systems where this earth is also on. So Bhu, Bhuvar, Suar, Bhur, Bhuvar, Suar, then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, or which is also called Brahmaloka. So those are the 7 upper planetary systems, and the lower, which is from Atala, Sutala, Vitala, Mahatala, Talatala, so Talatala, Forzan, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. So Patala is the lowest planetary system. So under that is where Garbhodakshayi Vishnu resides, under that planetary system. So to understand Lord Brahma's creation a little bit more, let's discuss about the different ages. Kali Yuga has, the age of Kali consists of 432,000 years. Dwapar Yuga is twice as much, 864,000 years. Dwapar Yuga. Treta Yuga is 3 times as much, which is 1,296,000 years. And Satya Yuga, 4 times as much, 1,728,000 years. So adding all of that, multiply that by 1,000, that calculates Sahasra Yuga Paryantam that's described. That constitutes one day of Brahma, which is 12 hours. And similarly, Brahma has one night, which is of a similar period. So in the night within the 24 hours of Brahma, there is what we call a partial dissolution of the planetary systems. And by the way, this one planetary system that was created with millions of planets on every plane, there are unlimited millions and millions of such planetary systems. And that only constitutes 1/4 of the material creation. So it's very vast. So anyway, at the end of every partial dissolution, it's described in the Bhagavatam, which we just went through, that the upper 3 planetary systems remains, which is Brahmalok, Tapaloka and Janaloka. The other 11 are dissolved, are immersed in water, and like that discovered. So every night of Brahma that happens. So on one such partial dissolution of this Brahmanda system, the Earth planet fell out of its orbit because it was exploited by the demons. And so it fell to the bottom of the Garbhodaka Ocean. So it was in that partial millennium, which happened to be the Swayambhuva millennium, that's when Lord Varaha appeared, and he took the form of a boar because, as we described, the upper planetary systems are more pious and heavenly. The lower planetary systems are hellish. Like, Tala means hell, pretty much. So Patala, which is the lowest, is very hellish, very filthy, very dirty. So the Lord took the form of a boar, because a boar naturally goes in filthy places. They use their snout and their tusk and smell in filthy places. So the Lord took that form so that he can once more reestablish the Earth planet back in its orbit. So in that form, it's described here that Srila Prabhupada describes that in the Swayambhuva millennium, the Lord appears as Sweta. Sweta means white, as a white boar. And in the Chakshusha millennium, he appears as a red boar. So it's very different. But for the purpose of the Bhagavatam, because everything is so elaborate and so many descriptions are there, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Maitreya Muni, who was speaking here to Vidura, he almost combined the two incarnations. He almost like bring them together so to make things short, because there are so many details have to be here. But it's the details describe that as Lord Bohr, Sweta Varaha, the white incarnation, was lifting the earth back into its orbit, that's when the first demon, Hiranyaksha, came and he challenged the Lord. He said, "Oh, I have been looking for you." Because to back up a little bit is that this demon, Hiranyaksha, he went to Varuna Dev. He was searching around for a good fight. He wants to challenge everyone. So he went to Varuna Dev, and Varuna Dev says, "You know what? I have a suitable match for you. That go and search for Vishnu. He's going to be a suitable match." So, in short, that's the conversation. So, Hiranyaksha, he was looking for Vishnu. So, with all he was a demon, he was able to recognize Vishnu in the form of this boar. So, that's one of the qualifications of these demons in former times. They are very, very, very well equipped with the scriptures. They were very learned, but they were antagonistic towards the Lord. So, he challenged the Lord, Lord Bohr, that, you know, "I want to fight with you. Come, I want to end you. I want to end your life. I want to get rid of you." So at that point, Lord Bohr had Mother Earth on his tusk, and Mother Earth is Lord Varaha's wife. So he said, "I'm not going to deal with you yet because my wife is going to get scared. You know, if you happen to go out on the road with your wife, sometimes they're like degraded people wants to tell you something bad. And if you go to resist, then, you know, your wife may get scared or be intimidated, things like that." So similarly, Lord Bohr says, "I'm not going to deal with you right now. You know, just wait, I'll come back. Let me take care of my wife, make sure she's okay." And so like that, in the first incarnation, the first millennium, Lord Varaha brought back the earth into its orbit. So that took place in the partial dissolution of the planetary systems, in the night of one of the nights of Lord Brahma. So after that, Then in another millennium, in a Chakshusha millennium, that's when Lord Bor came back to take care of Hiranyaksha. So it didn't happen immediately. There was some time gap in between, which is a wide gap to our calculation. There's a wide gap. So then we can imagine this, that if Lord Varaha took the earth and put it in its orbit and then went to fight with Hiranyaksha, where did they fought? They were definitely not fighting on the earth planet. So that pastime did not take place on the earth planet. So it's described that in the early days in the Chatu Yuga, that demons and devotees, they weren't on the same planet. So Varaha wasn't on the same planet, Lord Varaha, with the demon Hiranyaksha. They were different planetary systems. In Treta Yuga, the demon and the devotees are on the same planet but in different countries. Ravana in Sri Lanka and Lord Ram in India. Like that. In Dwapar Yuga, they were on the same planet, in the same country, in the same family, like the Pandavas and the Kuravas, and Lord Krishna and Shishupal, they were cousins. Krishna and Kamsa, they were related. So they were in the same family. But in Kali Yuga, not only that they were in the same planet, they were in the same country, they were in the same family, but the demoniac and divine tendencies are within the same body as well. So sometimes we find that devotees would act so nicely, then all of a sudden there is a thorn and there is this demoniac tendency that sprouts up. Or negative, or what we say like a devotee, leave Krishna consciousness or something like. Because this is the influence of the age, that the demoniac and divine qualities are there. And at any time it can manifest. Therefore, we have to always be careful to practice nicely, chant, and keep in regulation so that the non-devotional tendencies don't arise. So this is our practice. So anyway, so they were fighting like that on the planetary system other than the earth. So that's where this fight took place. So it's described that it was going on so fiercely, then eventually Lord Varaha finally, with a slap of one of his hoofs, he killed Hiranyaksha. So this gives a little idea of this, what Srila Prabhupada described here in brief, that the two incarnations are different, they appear in two different times. So it's not the one, it's the same personality of Godhead, but they appear in different times. And the Lord, as usual, appear for the pleasure of his devotees. So regardless of what it takes, the Lord would act in that way just for the pleasure of his devotees. Just like Lord Krishna, look the roles that he took. He was washing the feet of the guests coming to the Rajasuya sacrifices. He became the messenger of the Pandavas to go and have peace talks with the Kuravas. He became the chariot driver of Arjuna, who Arjuna had a boss around throughout the battle and anywhere, you know, do this, do that, go here, go there. So Srila Prabhupada said that Arjuna didn't have the time to offer obeisance to Krishna at every moment, but he was following Krishna's instruction. Krishna instructed him to fight, so therefore he had to instruct Krishna how to direct his chariot, to do this, to go there, go here. He didn't have time to, oh my dear Lord, can you please do this? No, go here, go there, do this, bring my chariot here. So like that, so the Lord took that form just for the pleasure and just for the love of his devotee, just for that pleasure that he wants to share. Similarly, the other incarnations. And he can take any incarnations in any form, whatever he likes. He is not limited. So again, for his pleasure and also for the pleasure of his devotees, he manifests at any time, in any form, which is not never seen before. Like when he manifests from the nostril of Lord Brahma, it's described that he was so small, was just like the upper part of the thumb, that's how small he was. But then immediately he grew into this gigantic form. He manifested, he grew very big. None of them ever saw that before. Similarly with the half-man, half-lion, Lord Nrisimhadev form, no one ever saw that form before. And everyone was fearful. Even when they asked Lakshmi Devi to go to pacify him, when Lord Nrisimhadev was so angry, she said, no, she's not going, that, you know, she doesn't know who he is, that my husband always sleeps on the Garbhodaka ocean, and he's peaceful. And I'm there with him, serving him, but not that form. I have not seen something like that before. I don't know what that is, or who that is. So like that, but Prahlad Maharaj, he knew. Prahlad knew, this is my Lord. And he was fearless. He was the only one that was fearless. From Lord Brahma to all the demigods to Lakshmi Devi, every one of them were fearful, but not Prahlad. Because by dint of his devotion, he knew that the Lord can do anything at any time, and he's always do things, spontaneously, and what one would not expect. So similarly here, Lord Varaha, he did the same, he performed the same pastimes. And for the pleasure of the devotees, he took these different forms, carried on these activities, and here we have this opportunity of reading and relishing these pastimes daily and weekly, or whenever we have the opportunity, as much as possible. So as we understand all these different pastimes of the Lord, then our heart becomes more and more purified, and we become more and more satisfied in whatever our existence here is in this material world, as long as we have the opportunity to always relish Krishna Katha. So these are some points I have here in short. If anyone has any questions or comments, Mother Ragatmika.
Thank you, Prabhu. I like that you cited the differences in the different ages where the demons and the devotees reside. And I've heard it before many times, but when you got to the point of that the demon and devotee reside in the same body in this age, it just struck me. You know, when we get distracted or a little diverted from any spiritual activity and, tamper with the material, mundane, that we can't take it for granted, that demoniac side will get nourished, you know. Like what dog do you want to feed? that analogy too. So thank you very much. Another question I've had is, or just came to me, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, these two names, when we recite the names of devotees, it's purifying. Now, these two are Krishna's devotees. Yeah. He designated them to play with him, to fight with him. So are those names equally as purifying by reciting them?
Well, if it's in relation to the Lord, and yes, we recite their names so much times in the Bhagavatam, why is it that their names are mentioned in the Bhagavatam if it's not purifying? You know? So Everything in the Bhagavatam, every word in the Bhagavatam is meant for our purification. So if those names are here, they're here for a purpose. But we have to understand in what direction, that in relation to the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, just like Jagai and Madai, you know, they are infamous, but their names mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita enhances the Lord's pastimes and enhances our relishment of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So in that sense, in that relation, yes, it's purifying, and yes, it's spiritual. So if that makes sense, yeah. So, yes. Okay, wait for the microphone, please. No, yes, it's okay. So take the microphone. There might be others listening on the internet.
I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains Sri Hiranyakashipu, Sri. There is an addition. Sri Hiranyakashipu said.
Yeah, everything in the Bhagavatam is Sri because it's holy and it's purifying and it's there for a purpose, you know, that there's not a word in the Bhagavatam that is not purifying. So, yep, all these things are there for our benefit. And if we see things in a positive way, of course, there are many things that may be questionable. And it's questionable for two reasons. One, for so that we can learn more. We can learn. And two, is that it enhances the whole presentation of the Bhagavatam. Because if you have no questions, if you have no comments, it's either we understand everything or we don't understand anything. So it's good when we have, you know, these questions. That's how we learn. That's how we get purified. So this is one of the things here. Like, before reading here, I never knew that there were two incarnations. I never thought about it. All the pastimes you read, it looks like, you know, they just merged together. The Lord took the earth, put her down there, and then start fighting with Hiranyaksha. But it's, you know, it's different. Okay, so thank you so much. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.